time to chapter 3, where we'll take up where we left off last week. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And last week we were looking at the qualifications of the overseer or bishop or elder. Today we want to look at the works or duties or responsibilities of the elder. And then next time, Lord willing, we'll be looking at the responsibility of the flock toward the shepherd. What should be the attitude toward those who are elders or overseers? And then we'll look at, after that, we'll look at qualifications and work of deacons. For our text, though we have our Bible open there to 1 Timothy, where we have been looking at the qualifications for elders, we want to keep that in mind that this is along with 1 Timothy, rather with Titus chapter 1 and verses 5 through 9, where we have also the qualifications there of the elders. This is the description, I should say. We talk about them being qualifications for elders, but I think this is very much the description of an elder. This is how an elder is to be described. This is how he's defined. You know him by what he is and what he does. This is how you can identify him. It's not a title given to a man in a particular office. Like, for example, here's one who is assistant manager of a certain company. He has that title. He may be doing the work, and there may be various degrees in which he is doing an effective work there, but that title does not necessarily make him that. And so a person may be called an elder, but it may be one thing whether to call him that, being quite another thing for him to function as an elder. So we see in 1 Timothy the qualifications for the overseer or the elder. And we know by this that it must be a very important and responsible work. Remember, it's not just an office, it is a work. This describes who he is and tells us what he is to do. There are various passages, however, that point out to us the work, responsibilities, and duties of the overseer, and we want to look at those this morning. So we have our basis for this series in 1 Timothy chapter 3. We've been looking at that. But I'd like for us to turn just now to a number of passages beginning with John chapter 10. John's Gospel chapter 10. When we consider the work of elders or duties or responsibility of elders, remember, the elders are overseers, they're bishops, they're pastors. They're all one and the same person. Today, in most religious circles, we don't hear it that way. We don't understand it that way. When you talk about a pastor, you're talking about one particular man who is the chief man. Now, he may have an assistant. There's one who is usually the pastor, but nowhere in the scriptures do we read that that is the case. Always in the plural, elders. Very difficult today for us to see beyond what has been established by various churches. But we want to look at the scriptures, not just what others are doing. I have five basic works or responsibilities of elders, which would encompass many, many aspects of his work. First, he is to know the sheep. He is to lead the sheep. He is to feed the sheep. He is to protect the sheep. He is to warn the sheep. I think this just about covers the scope of his work. So let's go back and look at these one at a time. And those who are writing it down, he knows the sheep, he leads the sheep, he feeds the sheep, he protects the sheep, and he warns the sheep. Okay? In John chapter 10, John's Gospel chapter 10, I think this is a very important passage to keep in mind. I like to keep turning back to what the Lord Jesus himself had to say about the shepherds of the flock. Why? Because the scriptures speak of him as the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. He is the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, and the good shepherd. He said, this is one of the great I ams, I am the good shepherd. Not just that I am a shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. There's none to compare with him. None to compare with the Lord Jesus. Why? He said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And that's exactly what he did. This is all the evidence we need. This is all the proof we need of the quality of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great, the good shepherd. He didn't just say, I will give my life. He gave his life. It wasn't that he intended to. It's the fact that he gave his life. So he has demonstrated that he's qualified to be our shepherd, our good shepherd, great shepherd, chief shepherd. In John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 3, let us notice. And we'll be reading several of these passages, and we'll be reading them over and over again. John 10, 3. To him, that is to the shepherd, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 14. We're going to read three verses and then we'll go back and comment. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Incidentally, I'd like for us to notice the claim that the good shepherd makes of his sheep. He says, my sheep, my voice. Now the shepherds today, the under-shepherds, do not say, my sheep. They belong to the Lord. They belong to the Lord. And oh, that's the motive for our taking care of the sheep, brethren, to the best we can. Not that they belong to us, but they belong to him who gave himself, shed his blood. They're precious to him. They're precious to us too. But the motive for our tender care for the sheep is that they belong to the Lord. I am his under-shepherd, and I should have the same care for these sheep that he had or would have or wants to have even now. And that should be a motive that would cause us to give of our best to the sheep. Because they're the Lord's. They belong to him. We ought to seek the best for the sheep. Seek the best for those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. The sheep are precious to him. He gave his life for them. Now, how we ought to give our lives for the sheep. Let's look at these passages. It says, I said a minute ago that one of the works or responsibilities or duties of the elder or the pastor or overseer, they're all one and the same, he is to know the sheep. Not just simply to know them by name, he does that. It's possible for us to know someone by name, and we can call their name by meeting them on the street. But it's quite another thing to be well enough acquainted with them as to know their needs, to know their thoughts, to know their desires. Says the shepherd. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He said, I know my sheep, and I am known by my sheep. Of course, the sheep of the Lord Jesus are going to know him. How can you know the Lord Jesus? How can you know the Lord Jesus if you have not really become acquainted with him? See, how could a person be saved if he didn't really know the Lord Jesus? So, you see, there's a definite relationship between the sheep and the shepherd here. Again, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So then this tells me that the shepherd or the pastor, the elder, is to know the sheep well enough to be sensitive to their temporal and spiritual needs. One of the problems in America in the 20th century, in the 1980s in which we live, is that we have become so caught up in the culture of our day that we hardly have time for people. We're so busy, we don't have time for people. And consequently, this has rubbed off on the church. And the church doesn't really have time one for another. And it's no wonder that the sheep are crying for help and crying for needs, but nobody knows what they are. Nobody understands them. Not well acquainted enough. This is one of the problems. It really shouldn't be. I know that in many churches that are so big today, I'm told that people could belong to there and go there all their life, and when they die and announce that so-and-so died, they don't know who they're talking about. Well, that's highly possible. The question is are there enough shepherds in a flock that size so to know them and to shepherd them and to give them the help that they need? In other words, to know them not only by name, but to be well enough acquainted with them to know if they're sick, if the sheep are sick. You see, a lot of things that the elder or the pastor or the shepherd has to do for the sheep, other than just to know them by name and just to give them their food to see that they're led into pasture, that's a part of it. But he should know if they're sick, if they're bruised, if they're hurt. And I might pause here again. It seems to me kind of an indictment against the pastors or the shepherds or the elders when the sheep do not feel comfortable in coming and sharing their needs with them. There may be a number of reasons. And perhaps it wouldn't be time ill spent to talk about some of the specifics in this area. Something's wrong when sheep do not feel comfortable in sharing their needs with the shepherd. They rather try to cover them up to make things appear as though everything is fine. Everything is, as we say, hunky-dory. Everything is just lovely. And inside, it's crying out. There's a need there, tremendous need. Burdens which they should share with others. The scriptures everywhere tell us that we should share burdens, one another's burdens. Matter of fact, while we're on that, let's just not pass over too hurriedly. Turn with me to Galatians. Paul's letter to the Galatians. In verse 2, it says, bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Our blessed Lord came to bear burdens. He came to take the greatest load from our shoulders. The Lord Jesus sends an invitation to us, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. There are Christians, there are sheep, as it were, who are caring about needless loads and needless burdens, not willing to share them with the Lord Jesus. And the Lord says, come and set your load down. I'll carry it. You've heard the story of the fellow driving along years ago in a wagon. And here he meets a friend going down the road carrying a sack of potatoes, big old sack of potatoes. And he said, friend, come on up and get in the wagon. The fellow gets in the wagon, he still carries the load on his shoulder. And, well, a lot of good that did, you know. But that sort of illustrates what we as Christians do sometimes. We come to the Lord, but we still feel like we need to carry the load. The Lord who's invited us to come up, he says that he'll take the load from us. And he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so we should be willing to cast all our cares upon him, to turn the load over to him. Let him carry it. And we, as under-shepherds, ought to be willing to carry the load of others. And this, I must say, is one of the greatest responsibilities of the shepherd, is to be willing to slip under the load of a fellow believer and say, "Hey, let me help you carry that. That's too much for you. Let me help you carry that." But again, like I said, this oftentimes these loads are kept down. In fact, the reason I know this, I'm speaking from experience. I've had people to come to me and have told me that for years that I've had a problem. I've been carrying this problem for years. And say, "I don't know why." Said, "I didn't want to get rid of this load first." And so the sheep may be sick, they may be bruised, they may have been fended, they may have been hit, they may have had a leg broken, what have you, need to be restored. The leg needs to be set. And straying. This is the responsibility of the shepherd to take care of the sick sheep, the bruised. Those are straying away and getting into dangerous areas. I'll say more about that in a moment too, concerning the warning of hirelings and others. And then there's a need for discipline too. If one of the sheep is going astray, if one of the sheep is getting into having some real spiritual problems and falling into sin and is walking on dangerous ground and so on, the shepherd, the true shepherd, has a responsibility to, in sort of in the form of discipline or for correction, you know, to go to approach the sheep, to get close to the sheep and give some warning. But here again, I find that today, so often, the sheep, if they're not very careful, don't want to face some issues in their lives. They don't want to face some problems. In fact, I've known some that when approached like this, they, "Well, don't bring this up to me. What's the thing you need to do?" "Well, I'll go down the block to the next church. There's one down there," and they go and they'll receive them without any question. That's one of the problems in churches today. You know, a person can go from one church to the other, have some serious problem that's never dealt with. He can escape from one to the other. So he should know his sheep. There are many reasons, and we've just given a few, but we'll have to go along. He not only knows the sheep, but he leads the sheep. It's his responsibility to lead, not to drive the sheep. I believe it was T. Ernest Wilson who, or someone, I forgot now, it seemed like to me it was T. Ernest Wilson that talks about being in one of the countries, you know, after the war, over one of the Arab countries after the war, where that he'd always heard these stories about the shepherds leading the sheep, you know. Said they always, the sheep follow the shepherd and he leads them. And he said he saw a case where that here was a man driving some sheep. And he turned to the scholar and says, "Wait a minute, this is not the stories I'd always heard about people driving driving sheep. I always thought the good shepherd was to lead the sheep." And he says, "Ah, you don't understand." He said, "If he was the good shepherd and they were his sheep, he'd be leading them. But," says, "that man is taking the sheep to the slaughterhouse. He's driving them." And that's a lesson there. You have to be careful about that. The true sheep follow the good shepherd, the true shepherd. Then there are those who are driving the sheep to the slaughterhouse, sad to say. They're being driven. But the good shepherd leads the sheep. Back to the example in John chapter 10. "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his sheep by name," and it says he leads them out. Verse 4 says, "And he goes before them." Look, he goes in front of them. Whatever is out there in the way of danger or whatever, he's there where he meets it first of all. He meets it. This is the way it should be. The shepherds of the flock, when he's leading the sheep and there's some dangers there, the shepherd should be the one to confront it first. How many of the sheep have tried to meet the devil head on and have been defeated? Because perhaps they're immature, not mature in the faith, have not grown spiritually as should. And God has provided the assembly with spiritual leadership, with spiritual pastors or elders who can confront the enemy. So the shepherd leads them. And again, in verse 27 we read a moment ago, he said, "And I know my sheep," or "my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." They follow me. Why do the sheep follow the shepherd? Well, they have learned by experience that they can trust him. As a matter of fact, they can give their lives, as it were, into his hands, his care. They know that this shepherd has proved that they are his concern and that they are his interest, and they are more important to him than anything else. And beloved, this is the key. What is important? What should be important to the elders? Not even his own life should be more important. It may mean that the giving of his life in so many areas. And this is one of the tests. And the Lord Jesus is almost saying, well, if you're not willing to put your life on the line, if you're not willing to pay the price, then you don't qualify. You don't qualify. This is one of the qualifications. And I know the qualifications seem to be very strict. And you know why they are? You know why the Lord is so very strict about this issue? Because he has such a deep concern for his sheep. He wants the best for his sheep. And that's why he chooses, as it were, the cream of the crop to lead them. And oh, how God's people ought to desire to do that. He leads the sheep. He leads them by example. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. The charge to these Hebrews. Remember those, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. My, this makes us tremble, doesn't it? Any elder, any true pastor is not a boastful one and not one who is haughty. Oh, if he really understands and knows his position as one of God's chosen under shepherds, oh, he'll go about the work with fear and trembling. He really will. But here, this passage says that the sheep follow by way of example. He says, whose faith follow? Whose faith follow? Here, once again, it's an incumbent upon the shepherd. Be sure his life is up here where that he serves as an example to the sheep. An example, one that they can look to with respect and regard, and one that they wouldn't be ashamed to follow. Considering the outcome of their conduct, let's turn quickly to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, or the Lord's heritage, if you please, but being examples to the flock. So the shepherds are to lead the sheep by example. You see, this is where the sheep will get their confidence. If they see where the shepherd has been, and if they see by his conduct and his manner of life, they'll say, he's been there before, and I can trust following in his footsteps. I can trust following his example. He's been there. Third, responsibility, duty of the elder is to feed the sheep. We'll turn now to Acts chapter 20. We quote it so often because it's so clear. Acts 20:28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers or bishops, to shepherd or feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, I might pause right here, and I think I might have mentioned this once before, but we're reading in that passage of Scripture this morning. If we had continued in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we would have come to verse 16, which, Lord willing, we'll do next time. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. You notice God is always concerned, first of all, about the conduct, the life of the shepherd or his leader, the people he's going to use. Take heed to yourself, Paul says to Titus, or rather to Timothy. Now to the elders at Ephesus, he says, therefore take heed to yourselves. That comes first. That's first priority. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. To shepherd or to feed, as one translation puts it, to tend or to shepherd the flock of God, which carries with it the idea not only of feeding, but to take care of, which he purchased with his own blood. We have the responsibility to feed the flock of God. Let's turn back to John chapter 21, John's Gospel 21. And here again, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus, is speaking to Peter. He has asked Peter, said, Peter, do you love me? Verse 15, Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He says, will you feed my lambs? Verse 16, he said, Peter, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He says, well, then you tend my sheep. Verse 17, he asked him again, do you love me? And Peter's grieved at this. He said, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Here is the responsibility given directly to the shepherd to feed the sheep. Now, if we will turn back to 1 Peter chapter 5 once again and look at verse 2, he says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. And again, that idea here in the term used, shepherd, is the same term that the Lord used back there speaking to Peter, and Peter's passing it on to others. You see, isn't it great? You know, Peter can pass these words on and say, well, this is what the Lord Jesus told me. I heard this from the Lord himself. Feed, shepherd the flock of God. The Lord had told Peter that, and so Peter's telling other shepherds to do that. Shepherds must see to it that the sheep are fed. One of the qualifications of an elder is what? He must be apt or able to teach. Teaching is feeding. I think that the elder should be very concerned about his responsibility in feeding the sheep. Now, this does not necessarily mean, I think, that the elder has to be a gifted public minister or preacher or teacher. I don't think it necessarily means that. But I don't think this should be an excuse either. I think we should realize the responsibility. I think the idea here, and I agree with those who say it, is one who is able to expound the Scriptures, perhaps on a one-on-one basis, or being able to explain the Scriptures to anyone. But the sheep must be fed, and it's the elder's responsibility. Here again, bring it down to present-day application. I think the elder should see to it that the flock are fed properly. And it might be that there may be some subjects that they feel. There may be some particular diet or need in the diet of the sheep that to say, look, I wonder if we should bring in somebody to do this. I've mentioned this before, like the Braeburn Chapel did one time back in the 70s. The elders got together and said, you know what? The things are serious among families today. And we need some teaching on the Christian family. And looked among themselves. They said, one of them said, well, I know a man in Dallas, Bill McRae. The Lord used tremendously in this area. They brought in Bill McRae, brought a whole series from Sunday to Sunday, 7 messages on the Christian family, the Christian child, the Christian husband, the Christian wife, the Christian parent, Christian marriage, the goal of marriage, how to have a happy home, this kind of thing. Some of you have that series. I have it, and I made it available to many, many people. And I've known that the other assemblies that would bring in men who seem to be well prepared and gifted in certain areas of ministry. That's feeding the sheep. Let's see to it that the sheep are fed. Now, I guess that across over, and I don't think a particular name, over in Mercer County where my brother has a garage, service station, on one corner, across from me is a big, beautiful dairy farm. I don't know how many cows that this farmer milks. Only he doesn't do the milking. He has a lot of men. He couldn't do it all. Somebody might say to him, incidentally, how many cattle are you feeding? He might say, well, so many. Well, actually, he's not throwing out the feed, but there are a lot of people. He sees to it that they're fed. You see the idea? His responsibility, they're his flock. He's responsible for them. And so we're responsible for the flock of God to see that they're fed. Let's go along. He must also protect the sheep. He must protect them. Sheep need protecting. You know, sheep are a most defenseless animal. And they'll give up. They'll give up. They almost cease to struggle. I've seen dogs chasing sheep. And they grab a sheep by the throat, and the sheep will just fall down and kick a little bit. But the dog has no trouble wiping out a sheep just like that. In John chapter 10, once again, let's look at verse 8. The Lord begins to tell about about some enemies of the sheep. Verse 8 of John 10 says, "All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers." But the sheep did not hear them. There are thieves and robbers? Sheep have enemies? You better believe it. Do the children of God, does the church of God have enemies? Christians have enemies today? You better believe it. They have many enemies. Satan is out to destroy the church of God. That's his chief concern right now. And he tries in a number of ways. He tries to destroy the faith. We were reading in the Sunday school lesson this morning from 1 Timothy 4. How that he has his emissaries, he has his false teachers, he has his seducing spirits, introducing doctrines of demons. That's how he can destroy. He can destroy a church by false doctrine. Yes, the sheep have enemies. Thieves and robbers, we're told. Look at verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, we kind of joke about it. We say, well, the devil is out to get you. Now, listen, seriously, he is. He is. Let's not kid ourselves. And we might say, we who are spiritual don't have anything to fear. Boy, that's foolish. Turning back to Acts once again, chapter 20, let's look further there that what Paul has to say to these elders who are shepherds of the flock there. Let's read once again verse 28, and then we'll go on to 29 and 30. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore watch, he says. Therefore watch. The shepherd is to watch out for the enemies of the sheep, and as we shall see in a minute, they are to warn the sheep themselves, but they are to protect the sheep from the enemies. Look at Titus, verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9. As he closes out here the list of qualifications for elders, he says they are to hold fast, or holding fast, the faithful word, as he has been taught, that he, that is the elder, may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convict those who contradict. There are those who contradict, whose lives and teaching is a contradiction to the truth, to the Word of God. And so they're to protect the sheep from this, to protect them from false teachers. Let's turn quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We just took a quick look at this passage this morning in the Sunday school hour. But let's look at it once again. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll read verses 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder. For Satan himself transforms himself as into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. What a warning. What a warning. And so the shepherd should be very careful to try himself, as Paul is doing, to protect the sheep, both by standing and opposing the enemy himself, and as we shall see in a minute, how also that he is to warn them. But in 2 Peter, another passage, 2 Peter, chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. My. Oh, what a responsibility elders, shepherds have to the sheep. And lastly, he is to warn the sheep. As really, in a sense, we've been reading some warnings also, warning them concerning the approach of false teachers. Not only does the elder himself to stand in the way, but he used to really warn the sheep concerning the dangers. He used to warn them. What is to warn them about? Well, let's look again at John chapter 10. Boy, that page should be well worn. Your Bible will fall open there tomorrow morning when you open it. Well, that's a good place for it to fall open, isn't it? John chapter 10, verses 11, 12, and 13. Again, our Savior says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he who is a hireling and not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Who does the hireling care about? Obviously, he cares about himself. First, he cares about what he gets out of it. He cares about his paycheck. He cares about whatever good it means to him. And there's another thing he cares about, and that's his own skin, his own good. You see, when the trouble comes, well, he turns and flees. The shepherd leaves the sheep, he says, the hireling rather, leaves the sheep when he sees the wolf coming. He doesn't stand and fight. He doesn't stand and resist. But he turns. Why? He says, look, I'm looking out for number one. Now, the Lord Jesus said, that man is a hireling. He is a false shepherd. He is a false shepherd. And what we need to do is to warn people about the possibility of such arising, because there are many, sad to say, and we don't go about pointing them out necessarily, but there are many today false shepherds and hirelings who the church thinks and the sheep think that, oh, they are doing us a great favor and we have a lot of confidence in them. But oftentimes when difficulties arise, where do they go? They split, as we would say. They flee. Back in another place, if your book don't fall open, if it does not fall open right here in John chapter 10, it will fall open in Acts chapter 20. But look at two verses here. We've already gone over some of them. But let's go back to verse 29 and pick up there. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. He's warning about false shepherds. They'll draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now we're going to close with three more passages. Let's turn first to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to read these quickly. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my sheep. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doing, says the Lord. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor will they be lacking, says the Lord. Now turn over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34. And again, the first few verses. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, beginning with verse 1 of Ezekiel 34, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So you were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. One last passage in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 11. Chapter chapter 11, verse 17. There are some preceding verses I could have read, but I'm just going to read this one last verse. Verse 17. Woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. This is a hireling. A sword shall be against his arm and against his right eye. His arm shall completely wither, and his right eye shall be totally blinded. Boy, these are serious warnings against the hireling, against the false shepherd, against those who are seeking their own good and not the good of the sheep. If you think God's not concerned about this, you've got another thought coming. If there's anything that ever needed to be shouted from the housetops, from every pulpit throughout this country, it's this passage right here. I think it ought to revolutionize the very teaching concerning the shepherding of God's flock. Well, I think if every minister of the Word standing in the pulpit today could understand the truth of what this passage is saying, boy, we'd see a return to New Testament Christianity so quick. We'd see a revival. That's what it would be. It'd be a revival. This is so important. My, what a serious work and responsibility the shepherd has. Elders, overseers, bishops, to warrant, to know the sheep, to lead the sheep, to feed the sheep, to protect the sheep, and to warn the sheep.